Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 9. Last week we played Civilization 2, and Kenny was in a dream world. Have either of you played it since?
I almost did four times, but I had a busy week, and this week's game I enjoyed, and so I went to that instead.
Nolan?
No, I didn't revisit that.
Yeah, I haven't been able to either. All right, so a question that I've got for you guys this week is, let me preface. I think us and gamers our age, or even non-gamers our age, they grew up going to some kind of arcade at their local mall, or they had something that they could go to. I had Power Play, which turned into Tilt and turned into something else, but I had an arcade that I would go to. And I think at arcades, memories are made. And so I want you to think, I'll share mine first and then maybe we can go Nolan's direction. But do you have an arcade memory? Do you have a memory that was created at an arcade?
I feel like this is the worst premise. I feel like that's saying like memories are made at shading bowling alleys. Do you have a memory? Like,
I think we do. Do you not have a shady bowling alley memory? Listen, I think you gave a good analogy, and I think that proves my point that this is a good question. Let me tell you my arcade memory. My arcade memory, I've got a few of them, but my main one is that I don't think that I was allowed to watch The Simpsons. Not entirely
sure.
Me
neither,
sure why.
Dude. Why?
I think just for
that
me,
funny.
I think it was because Bart was rude. But like,
don't be rude. You
yeah.
can't watch this.
So I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons, but my dad took me to the arcade one time, and there was The Simpsons arcade game there. And he doesn't play video games, but that day we spent all of our coins on that Simpsons game and played all the way through and beat it. So we went all the way through. We didn't get tickets for it. We didn't get anything, but I did get the memory of my dad and me playing through a game that I was not allowed to watch the television show of, and we beat it to completion.
So like $30 later, you beat it.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
Absolutely.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
All right.
Mine was at a local pizza restaurant that... We're Americans, so we went every week, basically. And it was just a little room that had maybe three or four games, arcade, what are they called, cabinets. And we had Mortal Kombat, so that was my introduction to Mortal Kombat, and I still love that game to this day.
Yeah.
There was a racing one where you had, like, you could sit down, you know, and have the wheel, but those are boring. And... I don't remember what the other ones were. I think they rotated, like they changed. But Mortal Kombat was definitely the best. But it was always hard to get quarters because my parents were like, no.
Right. But what about when you could press in the little coin deposit thing? And
the little red button?
Yeah, and like an extra coin would fall out down there, so someone didn't get a play, but now you get a play off of
the misery. Yeah, that was like from a movie.
Yeah.
It was like... It's meant to be, and then you get to play.
It was wonderful. Kenny...
You die like 4 seconds later. It's always how it works.
Kenny, can you remember back that far when you were a kid?
Yeah, I remember a similar memory to yours doing sort of my first like complete playthrough of a game.
With my dad?
With your dad and with your quarters. No, but one of those we just sort of paid to win because we were kids and terrible and just had to have loads and loads and loads of quarters. But we're determined we were going to do this thing. And played all the way through the classic X-Men arcade game.
That one was awesome.
So
that's
good.
A great game. Like, that may be worth even adding to the list. It's so good. Of course, there's a lot of classics, you know.
Wait
Simpsons
a minute.
Is classic. There's tons and tons.
Arcade games are microtransactions. What? I never realized that.
Are you now going to hate them?
I'm hurt. They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, but they're less obnoxious than current day.
At least, a quarter? You know what you're getting into, at
least. A quarter. or 50 cents is a lot to play for how long?
It depends on how good you are.
Like 7 seconds for me. It was always bad.
You just realized that? You know what I just realized? The game that we played this last week was an arcade game.
That was the worst segue yet.
You're so dumb. Worst segue ever.
Wow.
Would you look at that?
I'm just now laughing.
Coincidence.
I'm just now realizing that the game we played remembered for the last 7 days was an arcade game.
I'm freaked out.
You know what? I guess since we're here, let's talk about it.
Sure.
Overview.
Nolan?
I spent half this week thinking that Gauntlet Legends was a different game than Gauntlet Legends.
What game did you think it was?
I don't know. I still haven't figured it out fully. I think maybe Golden Axe.
Kenny kept messaging Dustin and I being like, oh, this game is not what I thought it was. What's the one I'm thinking of? And he kept saying different aspects of it. And we kept being like, oh, yeah, it's Gauntlet Legends.
It was super frustrating. And I never figured out for sure what I was thinking of. Like, I have a distinct memory of a kid of, like, a kind of fantasy era arcade game. And that's what I thought Gauntlet Legends was. That's why I got so excited at the beginning of the week when we announced this. And I can't even think of what that game was.
It is what you were
so
thinking.
Viewers, help me out.
Yeah, we don't have any viewers because they can't see anything. But this week we played Gauntlet Legends, an old arcade game. And Nolan, how about you give us an overview?
Sure. Gauntlet Legends, as we've already mentioned, is our first arcade game. We've usually played console ports or even games that started on the console. This one started as an arcade game. And this game came out in 1998, and I think the N64 port came out in 99, so this barely met our 15-year-plus criteria.
That's so hard for me to believe.
Right. Why? Because
it feels older than that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just don't realize how quickly graphic stuff has progressed. You know,
yeah, it was a big jump.
I forget the context.
Believe it or not, this game was made by, or is produced by Atari. Do you remember Area 51?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, and Primal Rage, the the fighting game where your animals fighting each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was also Atari. So they've got a few pretty notable arcade games and ones that I would see everywhere. I saw Area 51 every time I saw like an arcade. So Atari games and the ports, I think Midway produced. Gauntlet Legends would probably fall under the dungeon crawler adventure genre. And what I mean by that is you could probably think Diablo and kind of get a good idea of how this game plays.
That's not true at all.
Why?
They feel so different to me.
Yeah, they feel so different because Diablo is so distinct. But as far as overall genre,
yeah,
I can't really compare it to a different type of game because it's, I mean, that's what it is. It's a top-down button masher, basically. You have waves of enemies, and you can find treasure chests. And this one's different because it has different like items and stuff that you can find. And it's stage-based. It's not like Diablo where you can kind of just go and explore the world. You have stages. But what's unique about this arcade game, and maybe not so unique, but what makes it appealing is that it's up to four multiplayer. Up to
which
four
is functionality
people.
I wish we could have explored.
Yeah, right. Like, we only so played fun. Solo, but you can play up to four people at a time, and you're all working together to get through the stage, to get through the waves of enemies. So that was a big deal for this game in general. It's the third in the series. There's Gauntlet 1 and 2. And I don't know why they didn't go with 3 for this one, but it's called Gauntlet Legends, probably because it came out so like much later than the other ones. And I guess they wanted to just revamp it.
And it was a big jump in style. Like,
yeah, I mean, this was
this
the 3D one.
Significantly different, yeah.
This went into the 3D realm of gaming. And so, you know, it was pretty well received because it was such a fun multiplayer experience, I think. Or that's why I think it was so well received. But like I said, there were ports to the N64 and the Dreamcast and PlayStation 1.
things changed within the ports, and I don't know how much, because, you know, most of us only are going to play one port. We're not going to play all of them. They're similar, and obviously, you know, theme and story and that kind of thing, but they're also very, very different from one another. I believe that the N64 kind of captures the original arcade the best.
That audio, one still feels like an arcade game to me.
Yeah. So, like, it still gives you four-player action. All of the things are there. Some of the bonuses that are found. So each of the games, each of the ports are, well, I was going to say upgrades. Some people might think it's a downgrade, but they are changes to the original arcade game.
Yeah, and I believe the Dreamcast version was actually the most stable from what I've been seeing around on the internet. The N64 one is the one that I played. It was fine. There were some frame rate issues, but it didn't feel like it was a clunky port or anything. I just have read that the Dreamcast one was pretty fluid and very stable. So that's interesting to me because you don't really hear much about Dreamcast games.
And one of the major differences between the arcade game and the ports, and Nolan, if the microtransaction thing shocked you this far, you've got, I don't know if either of you know this, but the arcade Gauntlet Legends game, one of the features, if you will, was that your character continually had their health being drained, not just because of being attacked, but because that was the nature of the
game. I'm so hurt that, like,
so
why?
Even more.
So you would
quarters.
Spend more money?
Yeah,
I'm so probably. Dumb.
It's
that's
already
crazy.
Kind of. It already gets to be a difficult game, and if your health is just automatically draining,
I have a huge problem with that.
As long as playing efficiently enough keeps you topped off, I don't know.
I guess.
I like the idea for just like a challenge mode, maybe like a
see,
hard.
See, at that point,
mode.
I'm depressed. My head's down, and I'm going to get some more pizza.
Yeah.
I'm done.
To come
done
back,
with this game, I'm getting nachos.
Come back and throw in a quarter and press start before the timer hits one, man. Let me say one other thing before we go into the gameplay about the overview, because I don't think we addressed the story, kind of what the idea is of the game, and the story is, I mean, it's fairly simple, but you've got this yellow wizard that's kind of like a staple in at least this game.
Garm.
Garm and his brother. No. The yellow wizard is Sumner, and Garm, his brother, releases this like ultra demon from the underworld to
Scorn.
Scorn to wreak havoc.
You gotta say it like you mean it.
And so Scorn's wreaked havoc, and Sumner, the yellow wizard, has summoned four mighty warriors, and you've got and these are the four choosable, selectable characters. You've got a warrior, you've got a Valkyrie, a wizard, and an archer, and each of them have different stats, and you can choose one of them. And then the idea is you travel through four realms or more, depending on which port you're playing, and within those realms there's many different stages. There's at least four or five stages that end with a boss battle. The final stage is a boss battle, and you have to do various things to advance stages to then go and defeat Scorn, who then Scorn flees to the underworld. Then you possibly have to go back through the stages to collect the runestones, if you missed any, which unlock the underworld, which then you travel down into to finally destroy Scorn and his, you know, evil squad once and for all. So that's the story. That's the premise. Let's move into gameplay.
Gameplay.
So as far as like the actual gameplay, there's kind of an RPG element to this arcade game, which is also really unique, where you choose from four classes of characters and you can level them up as you progress. And I'm not sure of any other arcade game that had featured that at the time. I'm sure there probably was, but it's a really cool incentive to keep playing and to keep getting level ups and power ups to help you progress, especially if you have three other people playing with you. That could get extremely fun.
Okay, so Nolan, you just said that there are four different playable characters and different stats, and it's like an RPG. How so?
Well, instead of just beginning a stage and ending it where you just get through a bunch of enemies, you're actually gaining as you go experience, basically, and you eventually level up and get stronger. Another RPG element of it would be the fact that you don't have to, you mentioned with the runestones, you don't have to collect those to progress. That's like a true completionist ending. And then you have like chests that you open with keys that you find, so you have to, you know, conserve the amount of keys that you have and to open all the chests. You earn gold. Oh, and also, and like, I love this feature. At the end of the stage, you can shop. You can go to the shop and sell unwanted items and buy other items that you want. So that's awesome. Like, you'll collect a lot of things and you might not want some of them, so you can get rid of them. And so that's kind of, that's the RPG elements that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think so. You've got your armor, you've got your attack power, you've got your health, and maybe you've got one other stat. And these stats vary depending on which character you choose. And so, like, for example, I chose the archer. Oh, speed. I chose the archer, which has incredible speed, mm-hmm. but fairly low armor and attack, you know, so fairly low some of these other stats, but her speed is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
Yeah, so I played Archer. Kenny, what did you play?
I played a wizard.
And kind of where did his or her stats lie?
In being a baller.
The and pharaoh?
Is that the wizard?
Yeah, he's got some funky thing on his head. I guess, like, in your magic, your spells hit harder, I think. I don't know, I only played the wizard, so it's hard to compare.
Right. Nolan?
I also played the archer, so I could go fast.
Yeah, yeah. And then they level up, which is awesome. You know, that's all I could ask for is levels. And then at certain levels, you get bonuses. And it's not at most levels. I think it's at level 20 or level 25, and you get this... I think the creature looks different, but you get this spirit that then attacks with you. So for me, every arrow I shoot, this spirit that was a butterfly, I believe, shot a kind of like a spirit attack along with my arrow. Did either of you get to that level and get that ability?
I didn't get to 25. No, if that's when you get it.
Okay.
Because I didn't get that one. There are items though that act as like a, I guess, like a... What would you call what you were just saying?
What I was just saying?
Yeah, like a final... I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just like a stronger spell?
No, but this is a support, and it just stays with you no matter what. Okay. So it's like an additional attack bonus.
Kind of a permanent upgrade to your character.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is awesome. Kenny, did you get that? Did you get to that level?
I did not, no.
Okay.
There are items, though, that... pretty much do like a something awesome. Like there's a hammer that you can get, and if you have like a ton of enemies on screen, you can, if you use the hammer, it basically one-shots all of them.
Well, yeah, the thunder hammer, that's the strongest item in the entire game. I'm surprised that you got that, because I didn't get one until late in the game.
You could buy one pretty
well easy. I guess you could buy one. Well, I didn't even notice there was a store there until like halfway through the game.
Really? Yeah. It's so awesome.
In the arcade game, you didn't have a store. In fact, all items were usable only in the moment that you got them. They were timed items.
That makes sense, though. I don't see why they... would you put a shop in an arcade?
Right. And most of the ports, you've got an inventory, so you can kind of keep and manage your items. There are a few, however, that... you cannot keep. There are a few items that are used
little
right
metal
away.
Thing,
yeah, like invincibility and your anti-death halo and various things like that. So you've got, and we've mentioned, let me just kind of clear it up. You've got various things that you, collectibles within the stages. You've got potions, which are just that, and they don't give you health or mana or anything like that. They are just usable potions, which pretty much kill and eliminate any enemy around you, including death itself. There's a little death.
He's so freaky.
He is, and I didn't know how to kill him at first, and I just ran from him because he doesn't take damage, and every time he hits you,
he just starts draining your health out of nowhere. Health.
That noise he makes.
Yeah, the potion is the only thing that kills him. So you've got potions, you've got your, and then you've got your items, and that ranges from upgrades to your weapon. So you've got a three-way shot, you've got a rapid fire, you've got various things like that, to some amulets that you can wear for a period of time that can increase your speed or, you know, protect you from the elements or whatever. And then you've got shields, but all those are items. And then to progress in the stages at the beginning, you've got to find obelisks. Is that how you say it? Yeah. Within the stage and or within the realm. And after you find two obelisks, that opens the next realm. Mm-hmm. So that's how you open the realms. But then you've got to defeat the bosses at the end of each realm to get the glass shard that goes in the window. Behind the yellow wizard, which will let you actually fight Scorn at the end. But then you've got to get the rune stones within each realm to the 13 runes, well, 12 rune stones in each realm to go down into the underworld to finally beat Scorn once.
The true end game.
Yeah, the true.
There's a lot to find if you want to replay. Can you actually go back in to a different stage after you beat it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. It seemed like the way it's laid out, it seems like you could. Like there's like a central hub where Summoner is, and then you can go. I just never tried to go back.
There were a number of times I would finish a level and have something lacking and then just go and replay it.
Yeah.
Kenny, can you kind of explain the... I loved this because I haven't seen this in video games before, but can you explain like the three-level monster, you know, setup? You know what I'm talking about? So you've got the monster generators, and at the beginning of the generator's strength, you've got your strongest and most resilient monster that's coming out and attacking you. And then as you've got to take out the generator, and the generator kind of has health too. And if you've knocked it down to the second level, you've got a smaller and a less strong and a less resilient monster coming out.
I didn't realize that was the case.
Yeah, you're explaining this really well, by the way. And then after you take it down to its final health, you've got even a smaller and less resilient monster coming after you and until you finally deplete the
generator health.
The generator health, and then nothing else can spawn there until it regenerates, you know, maybe 5 minutes later.
You know, sometimes it was really hard to even hit the generator because of the amount of enemies, like the amount of waves that they throw at you.
It got that way. Like at first, the first couple of
levels,
it gets
pretty intense.
Felt pretty easy, and I was kind of like, okay, this isn't even really Gauntlet. Because if you play the old Gauntlet games, like they're defined kind of just by like masses of enemies, or at least those are my, you know, the top-down kind of strategy ones. But then you get into some of those slightly later levels, and it starts spawning a lot of creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to be smart about like the items that you've collected, or
use your power-up sometimes to get through a wave just so you can kill one or two generators so that it's generating an amount you can handle with your normal skills.
I loved how strategic it got. Like, I wish I could have played with you guys.
Oh, it would have been so fun.
But unfortunately, we didn't explore that feature, but I feel like that's what this game is. Like, you need to play multiplayer to experience it, and I'm sad that I missed out on that. But
I'd bet there's ways. When we have future arcade or multiplayer games like this, they have to do a week where we specifically play cooperatively.
The arcade genre needs to be explored more.
Yeah, I think we should put a few more of those games on the list for sure.
Before we move on to talk about how it aged, can we talk about the realms real quick and the different stages? Because I want to hear the favorite stage that you played. Depending on which port you played, there's various realms, but I think the main four realms you've got is the Mountain Kingdom.
Peak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mountain Kingdom, which has different parts of the mountain. Let me just tell you, because I really haven't stressed yet, but this game, like...
Dustin's such a fanboy is what he's trying to say. He fell in love with this game.
This game has affected me in ways unlike any other game, man. I have enjoyed this game. I played it every day possible this past week. I cleared the game in its entirety, and in mainly its entirety. There's still two more bonus stages that I have yet to beat, but I've got to level 88, and
just give me a few days.
You were just making up for the fact that you were really bad at Civilization.
Maybe that's the case. But one of the reasons why I love this game so much is the realm diversity and the stage differences and the thematic elements within each stages. So once more, you've got the Mountain Kingdom. You've got, I think, the Castle Stronghold. You've got an ice domain. And then you've got... like the desecrated temple where Scorn is, and then you've got the underworld, and then you've got the battlefield. so there's a few different stages here. I know y'all maybe just got to one, possibly two, but do you have a favorite stage within the realm that you enjoyed most?
I love the castle stage.
Okay, definitely don't expand or anything.
Well, I mean, you asked. That's what I liked.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
The graphics were great. They did some more visual things there to make it feel a little immersive. It finally got a little more difficult, and so it was a little more fun. It was kind of face roll before that. The puzzles were fun, but without being frustrating. I don't know, just the whole tile set of that area and the creatures, and I liked it.
I didn't get as far as you did, Dustin. And this is dumb. My favorite stage was the very first one, because in the mountain, because it was designed so well at teaching you the game. Like, that's been my frustration with a few of the games we played, at the lack of instruction and the lack of giving you the objective and helping you get into the game. This one was laid out so that you would find tips in the first stage, and it would explain pretty much everything you needed to know, whether it was the door mechanics, like, look, you needed to find the pressure plate to open a door, or about the obelisks, or the keys in the chest, whatever it was. It was designed so well that you could play. I felt fine playing the rest of the game, and so that was my favorite.
Yeah, and my favorite was in the town, in the town realm. You start off in the fields, and then you move through the cemetery, and then you go up a spire. Those are the different stages. But then the final stage of that realm is an airship. And I don't think you guys got there, but if you haven't, you've got to play to that point, because it's just an incredible stage. Oh, man, I don't know. There's something about that stage and the music, and then you just feel like, as you increase in stages, more and more enemy hordes are coming after you, and so you're just like struggling through these stages, but you feel like a warrior that's man coming to defeat the forces of evil, and I'm just this archer girl that has taken out all the evil.
Dustin loved this game.
You got so excited.
I'm in an airship.
I'm this archer girl.
You should see me right now. I've got a bow in one hand and an arrow in the other, and I'm about to shoot this thing. But anyways, that was my favorite stage. Moving into how it aged.
Aged.
I think it aged great. Like, it... Okay, this might offend both of you. I don't know. It looks ugly. And you may agree, you may not agree. I don't know.
Oh, no.
It looks ugly.
I completely agree.
It's... You can tell that it started on an arcade system. However, for an arcade system, it's pretty amazing in the mechanics and in the way that the game works. So I had no problem jumping right into this game, despite its age, which is 16, 17 years. Not the oldest game we've played, but still, it shows its age. However, in gameplay, excellent. It works well, and again, I wish I could have played multiplayer so that I could have experienced it better.
Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, I generally agree. I think the visuals are rough. It's one of those that once you play enough of it that you get a sense of how the 3D works and how to walk around and all of those things, you can kind of get past some of that. And once you get into the game and you're sort of immersed and you understand the controls and your power-ups and all the things, and the levels start getting a little more complex and difficult, super, super fun. Maybe I'll just give it one super, not two. But was a fun game. There was at least one point when I was playing and like my D-pad thumb was hurting, and that's always a good sign because I didn't want to stop. And then, like, this morning I was playing a little bit more before we sat down to do the podcast. And I was like, I don't want to talk to these guys. I just want to play this game. So it was good. Like, gameplay's good. But, I don't know. The graphics were just such a thing that I can't say that it aged well. But despite it being an old and kind of clunky game, I think it's still worth playing.
I think that it's 100% absolutely acceptable for today. And I'm not just saying that with a swayed opinion. I mean, I do see its clunky nature. I do see, you know, it being glitchy at times and lagging. But I can see so many people finding this game very accessible today.
Here's what happened. You stepped into an airship and you got nostalgic for Final Fantasy. And that swayed your opinion of this
Listen,
game.
Listen, Final Fantasy does things to me, but that's not the only thing that does things to me. All right, so like this
so
game.
So now Gauntlet Legends is on the list of games that.
Whoa!
That make you smile.
Yeah, but I mean, don't put it up there with Final Fantasy VII. But
okay.
But it. I mean, it was a game. It is a game that. Yeah, is. I don't know about one of my favorites, but a really, really good game that I had so much fun with it playing alone. And we've talked about this, but if we were to play this together,
It'd
I guarantee
so
you that we would have hours and hours of fun.
Yep, so much fun. Getting mad at Kenny for not helping with the waves.
Yeah, like
Kenny, get over here.
I'd be collecting all the items while
right.
you guys yeah. were trying to send people
right.
off.
Right, unlocking gates that we don't want to go through yet, bringing more hordes of enemies towards us.
What does this
Absolutely.
Do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
We might still need to do that one day.
We have to. This game I had so much fun playing alone, but playing with others would be so much more fun. Here's a few things for those that are listening, and if you want to play, you know, with somebody, the PlayStation version is the one that I played. It's a good game, but it takes away the four player multiplayer functionality, unfortunately, and that's why it was criticized heavily because
it does have two though.
It's got
it?
Two. It's got two, but you cannot have four.
It's not enough.
N64 would be the one that I suggest you go with because you can have four, and it's got a lot of the same, add-ons and bonuses and things that the PlayStation version has.
That's the one I played, and it, you know, from what I read, it was like. You know, people were saying it was clunky or an unstable port, but I did not experience that at all. Maybe a few frame rate issues when the screen was full
yeah.
of enemies, but I mean that, you know, that was hard to avoid.
Sure.
And so I would agree. That's probably the one I would play. Again, the Dreamcast one's supposed to be stable and it does have four player. So either one of those I'd say is a good option.
Let's summarize.
The final shell shock.
My favorite thing about this game, and I'll just start off, was the level diversity. I enjoyed how different each level felt. The theme, the music, the color, the look, the enemies. Okay, so we already mentioned that you've got different level enemies coming out of out of the spawns, but those enemies change at least their skins based on what stage you're on. So. Your lowest level enemy that might be coming at you in the later stages, like in the nether world, are little demons, red demons. But in the previous worlds, they might be like a little green goblin that's coming after you or something else. And so even the enemies, although you still got that three-tiered enemy level, are different in appearance. And so that whole thematic element of the levels and of the realms are kind of what was one of my favorites, along with, you probably don't know, but in these ports, there's bonus stages that can be found. And if you collect, and it's you running around and collecting coins, and you've got, I think, 60 seconds to collect these coins. If you collect all of them, it unlocks a character, and you can unlock a character skin for each of the four characters that you play. So I unlocked for the archer the tigress skin, which I think she might shoot just a little bit faster, but... it's unlocking this beast within is the whole idea, and so there's an animal skin for each of these main characters. And
is it permanently unlocked?
It's permanently unlocked after you find it, and the only negative side of it is once you switch to that skin, I do not think you can switch back.
So, like, if you started a new game, could you select Tigress?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's probably on that account.
I think it's in that game.
Okay. Yeah. That's still really cool.
What's one of your guys' kind of favorite or least favorite thing?
The dude's voice. You know what I'm talking about?
Sumner, the yellow?
I guess it was him every time. But yeah, he would talk to you when you found an obelisk, but there's just like this booming deep voice that would talk to you in the stage.
Well, I know Scorn would talk some.
Sometimes he would. He would laugh at you if you didn't find the runestone in the stage.
Yeah.
He would say the runestone remains or whatever, but that was fun. It wasn't my favorite. I was joking. I like the character diversity. I love that you can pick from, what, 8 characters? Because you can do male or female, wizard, warrior, archer, and Valkyrie, which I'm wondering what Valkyrie is. It sounds cool. But yeah, I like that you don't just get to pick from like a warrior with a giant axe or something. You get to pick, you know, different play styles. And then there's incentive if you are playing by yourself, you can play through another time with a different character. And again, the whole level up aspect just adds to that. And yeah, I like that.
My favorite is probably like some of the more RPG-ish elements. Like, it's always fun to customize, and then grabbing items and then knowing when to use those items is just always a lot of fun. So I liked all the like power-ups and stuff. They made it more intriguing than it would have been otherwise. It was fun.
Two final questions. Would y'all sit down with me and play?
Absolutely.
Yes, I would.
And secondly, do you think that you will play this game again?
I really do.
I think there's a chance.
I think I will. Maybe not this week, but I would definitely play it with you guys.
Yeah,
it's one I would play. Again, because we're like cranking out a different game every week, it always sort of just depends on time. But this would be on the list for me of games to go back to. Wow.
For this next week, we are playing a new game. We do play a new old game. We play a new old game every single week, and we're doing that this week, but we're doing something different. We've done it once before. We don't want to do this often, especially Kenny doesn't want to do this often. He's stressed that to us multiple times.
No, random is fun.
Random is
fun. I love when we hit the randomize button and I have to freak out a little.
Random is definitely fun.
It's fun, but this is important.
This week we're doing something different. Why, Nolan?
Let me tell you. This week, a certain game's coming out. You have no idea what it is, I'm sure.
It's Half-Life 3.
Fallout 4 is coming out this week. And so in honor of Fallout 4's long-awaited release, we are going to play Fallout 1, which was on PC, and it's much different from the newer games, from Fallout 3, New Vegas, and 4. It's very different, and so we're going to give it a try and love it instead of randomizing a game this week.
It'll be fun. It's a popular franchise that I have absolutely no experience with, so getting to delve in and get to know it a little will be great.
And I love the series, but I've never played it, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself, so I'm excited that I'm playing it now.
If you would like to play with us this week, then we would love for you to do so. Download Fallout 1, figure out a way to play it. I'm pretty sure you can get it on Steam for cheap. Play it along with us, and then send us your thoughts and your commentary. You can email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter /NGP podcast. You can find us on Facebook/NGP podcast. It's very, very simple to find us. But do play with us. Send us your thoughts about the game, and we'd like to include that in our conversation next week.
I only have one day to play Fallout 1, and then Fallout 4 comes out. What am I supposed to do?
Both.
Impossible.
Just wait on Fallout 4.
Right. That's what I'll do.
We have a growing list, Kenny,
of games that we intend to play eventually. We call it the Retro Master List or something that somebody decided. Doesn't matter what it's called. It's a great list of games, but it is rather incomplete still, and so we would love your suggestions of games that are worth playing. So, fun games you want to relive, terrible games you want to hear us hate on, difficult games that you want to make us suffer through, whatever. Shoot us an email, post on Twitter. We've added a couple new games just in the last couple of weeks, and we're coming up with more. And I want us to add the X-Men arcade game to the list as we've gotten in arcade mode. And so as long as Dustin doesn't slack, we'll get that one on there. And so send us your suggestions and we'll play them.
We'll put these games on the list. You can find the list link on our social media sites so you can see kind of what's already on there and what's lacking. We'd love for you to play with us this week. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, would you take a moment and rate and review? And that helps us tremendously. Just a heads up, after our 10th episode, we're going to be migrating our RSS feed from where it currently is, and we're going to host it on our SoundCloud. So we're going to transition everything to our SoundCloud. For those of you that need to know that, just prepare for that so you can update your RSS feed, and you'll be able to continue following us and growing with us. We're glad you're a part of the family, and we'll see you next week as we play Fallout.